Good morning and welcome to Neocani View. I'm Peter Newman, and joining us this morning is member of the Tillamook County Commission, in fact, the chair of the commission, Mark Labhart. Good to be with us.
Good morning.
Good morning. Actually, before we begin, your chair, what does being chair denote other than perhaps other people have to bring you coffee?
It's not that big a deal. We rotate the chairmanship yearly. So like Multnomah County, where they actually hire a chair, that chair stays for 4 years of their election. In Tillamook County, we rotate the chairmanship every year. Essentially what a chair does is I set the agenda for the Board of Commission meetings. If somebody wants to put something on the agenda, they have to go through the chair to make sure that I'm okay with it. If a commissioner has an item they want to put on the agenda, I'm not going to stop them. So, I mean, it's not that big a deal. I get kind of first contacts with constituents if they say, well, I'd like to talk to the chair of the Board of Commissioners to see if there's something I want to put on the agenda or not, a concern or a grant or those kind of things. I approve the agenda for every Wednesday meeting, but that's about all it is. It's not that big a deal. So when they say chair, there's not much to it.
I'd go for the coffee, too, though, yeah. While you're at it.
Nobody gives me coffee, by the way.
Most recently in our county, in Tillamook County, the transient lodging tax, it passed. Actually, it passed by a rather surprising margin. I thought it was going to be closer.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh.
But, you know, what do I know?
Well, I actually thought it was going to pass, and I thought it would pass fairly handily because it's a tax you don't have to pay.
Well, that's true.
And anytime you can tax somebody else, people seem to be more in favor of, if it helps the county and I don't have to pay it, I might be supportive of it. And that's essentially what the transit lodging tax was. And it passed for the numbers, 4,707 people voted yes and 2,320 people voted no. So that's a 67% yes to a 33% no. Anything over 60% in a ballot measure is considered a runaway. So it was pretty much a runaway. What the transit lodging tax does is we don't have one in the unincorporated portions of Tillamook County right now. For example, Manzanita has a tax. And so this is a 10% lodging tax with a 9% credit. So for example, if a community has a lodging tax of, let's say, 10%, and they get a 9% credit, it would add 1% to their lodging tax. So an example with I know Tillamook's is at 10% now, so it would be an 11% tax. Manzanita, I think, is at 9% right now. So it essentially gives them the total amount of credit up to 9%. So it doesn't take anything away from a city. That's what's important.
But it really affects the unincorporated areas.
It doesn't. The unincorporated areas right now. For example, let's use Pacific City, which is an unincorporated community in South Tillamook County. Right now, if you stay in a motel in Pacific City, you pay a 1% statewide lodging tax, and that's a state law, and that goes into tourism promotion throughout the state of Oregon. So if you stay in Pacific City and it's $100 a night, you pay $101, 1%, or excuse me, 10%, $101, and so if you stay in Tillamook and it's a 10% tax, you pay $110. And so now, if you stay in Pacific City, you'll pay $100 plus $11, the 1% state tax and the 10% county room tax.
So it sort of equalizes things between the various
areas of
the county.
Pretty much it's going to be equal across the board. And then one of the arguments that I heard that was against the tax was, oh boy, people won't stay here if there's a lodging tax.
I don't know that anybody actually puts that calculus in as they're planning a vacation.
Yeah, I mean, the first choice I always say is destination. I want to go to the coast, or I want to go to this community. And then the second thing I think people look at is the rate. They look at the room rate. Very few people ever look at, oh, the room tax is higher here versus here, so I'm going to go somewhere else. You'd pay that much in gas driving to another location. And so we're about on par with the rest of the Oregon coast right now with the lodging tax.
Of course, everyone wants to know, where's the money going?
Yeah, that's a good question. By law, there is a formula, and the formula is 70% of the revenue generated from a lodging tax must be dedicated to tourism promotion or tourism facilities. and or tourism facilities. 30% can be used by the jurisdiction for whatever purpose they wish. And when the Board of Commissioners asked people to dig into their pockets in a recession to fund the road bond, we also said that we would put on the ballot a transit lodging tax in November of 2013, and we would dedicate that 30% that we can use for whatever purpose we want to roads. And so we will dedicate the 30% generated to county road maintenance. The 70% would be used for tourism promotion and tourism facilities. And so what you asked, my question next would be, well, how much is that going to generate? We estimate that it'll be about $1.4 million per year total. So about roughly $400,000 would be available for road maintenance, and about $1 million a year would be available for tourism promotion and tourism facilities.
So if I may, people always ask the question, well, how many miles of road is that going to give me every year?
Well, it depends. Yeah, it's a good question. If you're going to do a full retrograde, it's very expensive. You know, it's $500 a mile to pave a road. But if the road's failing right now, it's got a lot of dips and what Leanne calls swoops in it, where you have to dig it up and then put a new base on it, you're talking thousands of dollars. But right now, what we did was this summer, she used some of the road bond money, and we are putting overlays on some of the roads throughout the county. And they're just finished in North County, and they'll come back and do some more in the springtime. And so we're doing some overlays. But she's developed a plan right now that's going to come before the Road Advisory Committee and to the Board of Commissioners this winter, that will identify some of the major road improvements that we need to make, where they actually have to dig up the road. So, and again, this $400,000 would be available to use for that. So back to your original question about, well, what about that 70%? Because everybody's lining up right now to say, oh, well, we could use it for this, and we could use it for
now,
that.
Now, imagine the money spent about three times over.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure. And so what I'm saying is slow down a little bit. First, it takes one quarter to get some revenue into the fund once the bill or the law is passed, and it's passed now. So it won't be until spring of next year till there's even any money in the fund to begin with. So what the Board of Commissioners did is we passed an ordinance that said that we are going to consider an intergovernmental agreement with the Economic Development Council, and they would form a committee made up of citizens and business owners from throughout Tillamook County that would make recommendations to the Economic Development Council on how the funds should be spent. So it would include people like motel owners, maybe chamber members, business people that would be on that group that would make recommendations to the Economic Development Council on how the funds would be spent. But prior to that, in fact, I just got off the phone this morning with Todd Davidson, who is the executive director of Travel Oregon. And they expend the 1% state tax. And what I've asked him to do is come to a Board of Commissioners meeting with all three commissioners, the Board of the Economic Development Council, and the public to talk to us about how transient lodging tax revenue, that 70%, is shared with communities and counties around the state, because he gets to see the entire state picture. Some cities do it different than another city. Some counties do it different than another county. So I'd like to ask him, you know, what are some of the options that are out there that are being used in other cities and other counties on how they spend the 70%? And in particular, what's your recommendation on a good system to use to put into place on how it's to be spent?
But the overall umbrella is to bring folks into the county.
That's correct.
For tourism purposes.
You know, and my goal is, we don't really have an issue during the summer. We're really busy during the summer. The motels are filled. The restaurants are filled. I'd like to see some shoulder seasons on both ends, on the front end and then on the back end, to maybe keep tourists here longer, or to keep them here one more day. And they can see this if they just spend one more day. There's a song, I think, called One More Day. But anyway, and what that does, it's economic development. It keeps our restaurants open. It keeps maybe some more staff hired in the motel rooms. It keeps some of our businesses open a little bit longer to keep, rather than this boom and bust kind of thing that we have, or booming in the summer and we kind of bust in the winter and we go way down. try to level that out over time. So that's the thinking. Still, no plan is in place yet. The ordinance says that we may contract with Economic Development Council. The bottom line decisions rest with the Board of Commissioners. And of course, everybody's lobbying us right now. You know, we should take some money and fund this, or we should fund that. I go, no, we're not going to fund anything right now. Let's go a slow approach, and let's do this right the first time.
Our guest this morning on Nia County View is County Commissioner for Tillamook County, Mark Labhart. Mark, can hop around and talk about the fair and the board. The fair's had some turnover. I mean, it's a marvelous fair. It's got to be one of the great fairs, not only in the state, but in the country. It's had some turnovers, and you know, when I started hearing about all that, I was, first of all, I was surprised to the extent that the commission or people at the county level are involved. I would have thought it would be a whole separate bunch of people who'd be dealing with the fair, and I guess it's the advantages of being in a smaller community where everybody has their hands on.
Well, you are right. It is a separate board, but it is appointed by the Board of County Commissioners, and you're also right. We have one of the best fairs in the nation. In fact, U.S. News and World Report identified the top 10 blue ribbon county fairs in the nation. I think it was a year or maybe 2 years ago, and they identified the Tillamook County Fair as number one. So we consider our fair as the number one fair in the nation. So you might say, well, what's the problem? Well, following this year's county fair, the Board of Commissioners sat down with each fair board member and had individual interviews with the fair board, and there is some discord among the fair board themselves. And each one of them recommended that we reconfigure the fair board, add two members, it's currently five, and we reconfigure it to seven members. And the problem is with the fair board is they're a working board. They are not a policy board. They don't just come to one meeting and then go home. They are a huge, huge volunteer working board. They're out there doing their hand labor. They donate their own dollars. They do a lot for the fair. But each one of them said, you know, I've been on the fair board a long time, and maybe we need some new members here. And so what the Board of Commissioners did is said, okay, we hear you. We will interview each fair board member, and in addition, we will interview other people that might be interested in the fair board and expand it from five to seven members. Some of the current fair board may be retained. Some of the current fair board members may not be retained. And we've had 20 applications, which is a lot of applications, because I think people love our county fair and want to be involved in it. Probably around the 1st of December, we will have a reconstituted fair board.
Now, what are the issues, though? I mean, people come to the fair. They're the animals, and they're the wonderful exhibits, and there's the food, and they're the rides. No problems here. I'm just going to have a good time today.
The fair is kind of like a machine. It pretty well runs on its own. And it's partly because of the fair board and partly because of the volunteers. We have about 300 volunteers that work at the fair. So right now, I think some of the fair board members are burning out. Because they're so committed and because there's so many hours there, they've been having to step up and do a lot. In particular, to answer your question with one specific, they've had a hard time getting a fair manager. They've gone through two fair managers since Jerry Underwood retired, one office manager, and now the seasonal employee has indicated that they're no longer going to be working at the fair. So there's some discord among the fair board, and fair board members have even agreed to this. They said, you need to mix us up.
Well, let's hop down the road a little bit to the Air Museum, which, in case folks aren't aware, the museum as a museum is actually moving, which I find very sad.
Yeah.
What happens to the facility? What's the future of that great building?
Well, again, it's not a... Let me first preference it by saying the county commissioners don't have a role in the final disposition of that. It's run by the Port of Tillamook Bay commissioners. But I was at the Veterans Celebration yesterday, and I even had one person come up to me and say, we've got to save this museum. We've got to save the facility. Well, what's going on, for people that don't know, is that Erickson has... when their lease terminates, I think it's in 2015, they're going to move their portion of the airplanes to their facility in Madras. Now, there will still be some airplanes left because the Navy has loaned to Port of Tillamook Bay some airplanes. And so there will still be some airplanes there. And so the Port Commission has to decide whether they're going to operate a museum and bring in additional planes or if they're just going to close the facility. Part of the problem is that that building is very, very old. Two of the doors are not functioning well. One, I don't even think can be opened. The roof has four layers of tin on it now, and the architect has told the port that if we put another layer of tin on it, it may collapse. And so you have to take the tin off in order to put a new layer of tin on there. Hugely expensive. What the port chose to do when they decided not to rebuild the railroad was to use the FEMA funds, the Federal Emergency Management Funds, that would have gone into the railroad, and the Port Commission made a strategic decision that we want to develop the industrial portion of the port property. So they've built buildings, they've paved the road, they're putting in infrastructure. They chose distinctly not to put all the money into the Hangar B, I think it's Hangar B, rather than putting it more into industrial and encouraging commercial development. Some people said, well, you should have used the FEMA money and redone that because it's the icon, it's the visual. I think the port commissioners made the right decision. We need to attract industrial development, and so the buildings and the infrastructure that they've built out there, I think we'll do that in the long term versus putting all your money in one bucket, if you will, the museum. Now, do I believe that the museum facility of the blimp hangar should close? I hope not. But I think it's going to be very difficult for the port to find literally millions of dollars to renovate that facility. It's just going to be very difficult. And I believe that the Port Commission did make the right decision.
Well, let's head down to the water. You can't open any edition of the Headlight Herald in the last few months without seeing the word clam in there. What's the issue? The whole Neatarts Bay clamming thing. It's very heated. Can you break it down for those of us who are just trying to follow it?
It's pretty heated, all right. It's a clammy issue, if you will.
Yeah.
What's going on is, on a low tide weekend, there will be literally hundreds, if not thousands, of people out on Little Neatarts Bay clamming. And they are saying that there's not as many clams and the clams are smaller. And to exacerbate the issue even further, there are commercial harvesters out there, and they harvest the clams commercially, and then they use those for crab bait. And some people say, well, first you shouldn't be using clams for crab bait, they should be using them for other purposes. And so what are these commercial guys doing? And to exacerbate it even further, these folks, most of them are from Washington, because Washington has restricted commercial harvesting of clams, and Oregon hasn't. And so they're coming down from Washington, so they're, quote, out-of-staters, and they're on Neatarts Bay, quote, competing with the recreational harvesters. So the commissioners received a number of complaints about that issue. And so we contacted the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, and they have a clam expert. And we first asked the question, is Neatarts Bay clam harvesting being done on a sustainable basis? In other words, are the number of clams that are being taken, is there enough replenishment that it's not depleting the resource? The answer to that question from ODF&W was yes, it is sustainable. The amount of harvesting that's going on out there. Now, there's people that disagree with that, but we have to go with the factual folks. Now, the next question that's asked is, okay, if it's sustainable, how big are the clams? And the perception is they're getting smaller. And the big clams aren't there anymore. They were just getting smaller and smaller clams. And so we're asking ODF&W to look at that also to see if, in fact, there are a smaller number of clams. And then the question is should we lobby for maybe a moratorium for a few years to grow these clams back so that they're bigger size? And so that's the question that's coming up right now. That's the reason you see all the perception and the arguments in the paper about, well, I don't believe them, and I think that they're over-harvesting it, and I think the clams are too small. We are exploring this. We're trying to do it from a very pragmatic perspective.
Let the science tell you where to go with it.
Yeah.
Well, we're getting to that time of year when the roads are flooding out or we can't get across a particular area. It happens every year. Anything new this year that we should be aware of as far as, you know, how to navigate Tillamook County?
Well, I just left a really cool meeting. The Nehalem Volunteer Corps under, you know, Linda Kozlowski and Paula Peak. We had representatives from throughout Tillamook County there, the health department, all the fire departments. Red Cross came down from Portland. And we talked about this coming fall and what's going to happen. And it just blows me away what's happening in North County and the leadership that's happening with the Emergency Volunteer Corps and their ability. You know, they've got Map Your Neighborhood done, there's storage facilities, there's just all kinds of things. And what's really special about it is they've expanded their expertise to other parts of the county. For example, South County right now is learning from the leadership that's done by the folks in North County to start planning for disasters in South County of Map Your Neighborhood. Because remember, all of South County is unincorporated. And so the folks up in North County have offered to provide that assistance to those folks. So we're trying to get prepared for this coming winter, hopefully.
And we should say it's not just flooding. As you point out, it's windstorm that takes out power. It's a potential tsunami or event like that. There's lots of things that can happen.
Look what's happened in the Philippines right now. Oh, just devastating. And we don't want anything like that to happen here. But I can tell you from the Red Cross that was there, we had the regional director of the Oregon Red Cross here. And he, just before I left to come to this interview, he said, you know, you're probably one of the most disaster prepared counties in the entire state of Oregon right now, because of the work that you have done in this county. In fact, they're now giving us a grant. The Red Cross is called Get Ready Oregon. There are five communities in Oregon that they've looked at, and they're going to help fund a effort in South Tillamook County to get us, the entire county, prepared like North County is. And so Linda's going to be helping with that, and Paula Peak and others are going to be helping with the Red Cross to make our county an entire county for disaster preparedness. So if we have the windstorm or the flood or the tsunami, it's going to be a disaster. We know it, but we'll be more prepared than other counties.
And that overlaps with, we were talking earlier about the road work. There's not only just roads, but it's making sure that the waters don't exceed the road.
Well, and Leanne Welch will tell you, our public works director, she'll tell you one of the key components is drainage, of getting the water off the road system and into the ditches, because if you can't get it off the road system and it plugs up the ditches and the culverts blow out and you lose the road system and you lose access, you know, for emergency services, for the fire trucks to get there, the ambulances to get there. So one of her priorities is, with this bond money and the 30% from the transient lodging tax, is to do proper road maintenance, which includes cleaning out the culverts, replacing the bad culverts, those kinds of things. So that will make us better able to withstand events such as heavy rainfalls.
Well, let's wrap up on a happy note. Let's talk about beer.
Yeah, pretty cool, isn't it? It seems like every community in the state of Oregon has a brewery now. Why shouldn't we?
Right, and maybe as chairman of the commission, you could pull some rank there and be first in line for a pull or something.
Well, I did.
Like
I actually had I think somebody got a picture of me toasting the dedication of the Pelican Pub. What we're talking about is the Pelican Pub down in Pacific City. Their beer has won international awards. And because of the success that they've had, there's been a huge demand for their beer, and not only in kegs, but in bottling. And they didn't do much bottling before, and so they needed to look for a place to expand. Well, their footprint in Pacific City can't be expanded upon. There's houses all around them. And so they said, well, we're going to look somewhere else. And they could have gone to Portland. They probably could have done it cheaper in Portland to build a brewery there. But they decided they want to stay in Tillamook County. And so they found a place in Tillamook over on First Street, and they have leased the facility, remodeled it, and now they're brewing beer. They're brewing Pelican, Kiwanda Cream Ale, and all the different brands, and they bottle it in that facility, and then they ship it over to Portland, and it gets distributed. And so I was talking to it's Jeff Shawns and Mary Jones and Ken and Darren, who are the four owners, and they can't meet the demand right now for their beer. And they've got a little restaurant there, a little small, what they call a tasting room, but they serve really good food, just excellent food. And so you can go over there and have a Pelican Brew and have a salad or a hamburger, and it's a great opportunity. And of course, when they do that, they hire employees. They've hired Leisha Mazay as their manager. And so they've expanded, and it's good for economic development, and they're hopefully making a large amount of money on their beer, and we get the benefits of it by having a frosty one now and then.
Well, yeah, I see us circling around at the beginning of our conversation. We're talking about increase tourism and increase the economic vitality of the county, and who'd have thunk 20 years ago that it might be on the shoulders of beer or for something else to come out. We don't really know, really. I mean, the possibilities of expanding tourism and expanding economic opportunity are all over the map, I suppose, if we choose to start thinking about it.
Yeah, they are. I mean, I see it as tools in the toolbox. Expanding the beer is just one major, it creates jobs there. But the Port of Tillamook Bay and then the industrial expansion, they're ready for jobs there. One thing that is particularly interesting to me that's going to happen in North County is this Rails and Trails project. And that's building a walking, hiking trail from Banks to Tillamook. And it will come down the Salmonberry Corridor, come out at Wheeler, and then come down the right-of-way clear to the city of Tillamook. And in fact, I just met with some folks last week in Garibaldi. They're going to build a new water line from the city of Garibaldi up to Barview-Watsico, right there at the Three Graces. It's a really sharp corner on Highway 101. In fact, we had a death there a couple years ago with a bicyclist. Well, now the end result of this waterline expansion project will be about a 6-foot graveled area next to the railroad tracks that go around that really dangerous spot. And then all we need to do is get a grant to pave over that, and we'll have the first portion of the Rails and Trails project done in the most dangerous portion of Highway 101. So from Barview Park to Garibaldi, you'll be able to walk along the bay, ride your bicycle along the bay, and that will be the first part of the Rails and Trails project. And our goal is to eventually get the trail all the way over to the city of Banks, so somebody from Portland can ride their bicycle or walk from Banks clear to Tillamook, or stop in Wheeler and go to a restaurant in Wheeler, or stop in Rockaway Beach. And it's just the potential is huge. So that's economic development too. So we got beer, we got rails and trails, we got industrial parks. I mean, that's one of my goals, is to always be looking for opportunities. And part of this is improving the infrastructure with our roads program. This roads bond will improve the infrastructure so that when people want to ride out to Nehalem Bay State Park, they're riding on a good road system. They're not going over potholes and damaged areas. And so thanks to the voters of Tillamook County for supporting that in a really tough economic time. We're going to spend their money wisely in the transient lodging tax. We're going to take that 30% and we're going to put it into roads too to try to keep that infrastructure improved.
Well, thank you, Mark Labhart, County Commissioner for Tillamook County. Great pleasure being with us this morning on Neocon View. Thanks for joining us. And we will see you next month, the fourth Monday in the month, for another edition of Neocon View.